If you've been let go, contact employment lawyer Craig Lewis at employmentlawyermississauga.com, or you could talk to him right now through me on the Drew Marshall Show. Hello, Craig Lewis.
Hello, Drew.
Welcome to the Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have any gifts?
I had some ice cream, but it melted.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. Don't even try. It's my birthday.
What does a lawyer bring as a gift? I mean, that's not really what we do.
When's your birthday?
It was last Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
We are like days apart in age.
Drew. We are twins.
Twinsies, yes.
To the year.
Yeah, that's just creepy.
That might be hard for anyone.
Very phenomenal. Strange. Very strange phenomena. Prior to joining RZZD, which stands for?
Rochopo Zuber Coetzee Dion. Which is why it's an acronym.
Is there an ointment for that?
What is that? No, they make the ointment.
He was a principal partner in his own litigation boutique, there's that word again, firm in Toronto for 12 years after starting his legal career on Bay Street. Craig has been a frequent speaker at seminars concerning employment advocacy matters and has litigated successfully at all levels of court in the province. In 2011, Craig was the recipient, check this out, the recipient of the Traditional Law Practice Award from the Canadian Association of Black Lawyers. Okay, here we go. What? JL's over there helping me with this diversification. Mm-hmm. And help me understand the Traditional Law Practice Award from the Canadian Association of Black Lawyers.
Which part do you need me to help you with?
JL, no cheering over there.
The award, the Canadian Association of Black Lawyers, which one?
Do you think, is there any weird stigma for you being a black lawyer?
Stigma.
Do people hear you on the phone and go, hey, I'll be right over, and they come over and they go, whoa, you're black? No, well, that funny. Doesn't happen, right?
Ashley, David, and I were actually talking about something similar to this in the green room.
Yes.
Before we came in, because that has happened to me.
No.
Yeah, well, no, it's, I don't have an accent, and so I think people make an assumption that black lawyers, all black lawyers have an accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they walk into the office, and this is in the days before the web, you know, because now there's an internet, and they can Google me, and there's my picture.
And find that one picture of you with your size 49 chest.
Okay.
Dude, you are, anyway, yes.
I've lost weight since that photo.
You have
taken.
Lost weight.
Yes. But yeah, so no, that did happen in the past. I don't think that it happens as much any longer. People, usually before they come into the office, they've looked at me, and at least on my photo, and have an idea of who I am before they come in, which is good.
Do you, I don't know, we're back into this question about diversity, and I'm wading into waters I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to go there anyway.
Do you need JL translate?
Yeah, JL, I'm going to run it by you first, and then you say it in the normal way, in the right way. No, but like sometimes in the Jesus community, people will give you the nod and wink, and what that means is I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, so I should get a deal. Does that happen in the black community too, do you think?
Not so much.
No.
Not so much.
Okay.
It's a bit of a loaded question because I remember back in law school, a lot of us, my colleagues weren't a lot of black colleagues in law school. It was just 25, 30 years ago. But we said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could have a black law firm, like a law firm with maybe 10 or 15 black lawyers? And the feeling was, unfortunately, was that, and this maybe represents a little bit of the history of blacks dealing with one another, is that we honestly felt that the black community would only come to us if, in fact, they were getting a discount. And also we would need to get respect from the white community for the black community to come, if you understand what
I'm
getting.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I, having never practiced in a predominantly black firm, I can't actually say we've actually tested that. The firm I'm at right now is quite diverse. I mean, going back to the diversity, I mean, it's 23 lawyers. I'd say almost half are people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So that's close. Okay. But at the same time, you know, to say a black law firm, there isn't one that I know that exists. So it's over maybe five more.
Okay, well, because we've got JL Richardson here in the studio, and we've been talking a little bit about diversity, I kind of want to keep going on that theme when it comes to employment law. Sure. Because, as I have admitted many times in this show, I'm a dope when it comes to saying the right words or politically correct, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I really am trying to just de-jerkify myself. Mm. And actually, JL, I want to talk to you about something I'd like to do involving communities that you're involved with to really actually involve in part of the show. Anyway, what the heck was I saying?
Come meet a jerk.
So, yeah, come meet a jerk. We'll set up a booth. Okay?
Don't get too close.
Kiss a jerk. Don't get anyway, are you seeing more diversity issues when it comes to firing and hiring?
More? No, I wouldn't say more.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's.
Is it a headache? That's all I can think about. I've asked you this a million times. In your world,
yeah,
somebody says something wrong, somebody takes it wrong, and then all of a sudden there's employment, firing, hiring, and all sorts of craziness in that world.
Investigations, that's the big area right now. It's workplace harassment investigations, right? So an allegation is made that, you know, a coworker has made a comment or has acted in a manner which is racially discriminatory or sexual orientation, whatever the situation is. And it goes to HR, human resources, and human resources is usually tasked with the job of, under their policy, doing an internal investigation to determine whether it happened or didn't happen. And if it did, then remedying the situation by either discipline, termination, suspension, or if it didn't happen and the person can't prove it, sometimes they will discipline the person who came forward. So I see that happening a lot more because of the legislation that was passed, you know, by the previous government.
Right.
And, that's where I see. But I don't see an increase in the number of cases.
No.
Okay, how it's dealt with.
So I want JL and Ashley David Chapman to actually weigh in on this conversation. So I'm going to give you guys a little lead time to think of something from a diversification point of view. Mm-hmm. What would you want to ask this employment lawyer? And from the guy who runs a huge stinking outfit called Chapman's Ice Cream, what do you want to know from this employment lawyer? Because, goodness, you must have had some employment issues over the years. Knowing you the way I know you.
Just because I'm hateful? Is that what you're getting at?
The Dark Prince of Ice Cream, okay? That's just the moniker there, yeah. And then, Tim, you're one of the most politically correct human beings that I've ever met in my life.
Shut up.
And it's a little irritating. So in your world of teaching,
yes,
you know, have you come across things that you go, man, we need Craig Lewis here now, stat?
Oh, I work at a school that's very diverse, and I find that it tends not to be a problem because
everyone's getting it already.
It's not that. I don't think you can be an idiot and get away with it because it is so diverse there. We were talking earlier about learning and knowledge and becoming more comfortable with those around you and that diversity.
Wow.
Diversity.
Uh-huh.
I don't see it as a problem.
Okay.
I don't at this point.
So you don't need Craig Lewis, employment lawyer extraordinaire.
Right, give me a week.
Employment lawyer, MrsZaga.com. Great plug for the advertising partner there, Tim. he doesn't need Craig Lewis.
I hate all people. Does that help?
That's better, yes. JL?
Yeah, I always have questions. I'm curious about whether, you know, you talked about when you had thought about having an all-black law firm and just sort of the bias that you thought was there, which I totally agree. I think people have those beliefs that, you know, white is better and therefore, you know, you can't trust anything, even in our own communities. Yeah. So I'm curious about whether you see systems like that even now where the system is actually built against a particular community. And even when there's wrong that happens, it's very difficult. Like, can you think of something where...
So is there a community that the system is built against?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that we were talking about this because, I mean, the Law Society has actually instigated a diversity policy, and that was about 2 years ago. So every law firm, every law legal institution, you know, the firm or, you know, small firm, large firm, has to have a diversity policy, which is geared towards not only its hiring practices, but how it treats those that are already within the structure. So in some respect, and that's something that didn't exist, you know, less than 2 years ago. So there isn't an emphasis on trying to drag this, you know, very storied profession, which is based upon history and precedent and all of the things that, you know, are against kind of change, and trying to drag it into the 21st century and saying, okay, now we need to, if people won't do it willingly, we're going to make them, right? So is it helping? I think so. I haven't done any, you know, statistical analysis of the numbers of black graduates. I think it kind of changes every year. My niece is actually graduating from UNB Law School this year, and she's the only black student in her class right now. So in some respects, that's not great, because I was in law school 30 years ago, and I was one of three. So,
dude, how old are you?
How old are you?
Yeah, how old are you?
How is it for women? Like, is it?
That's the interesting thing. Actually, women are the predominant majority in law school now. It used to be, when I was in law school, around 60-40 males to females. They're over 50% now. Over 50%.
But not racially very diverse.
Still probably the same. Yeah. I think you're looking at the same. It's not representative of the overall population, but it's. I think it depends on the school sometimes, and it depends on the year. Like, when people are looking at their career trajectory, what do I want to do? Yeah. I mean, you hear people say law almost like an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Very few people say, listen, I want to be a lawyer, and I'm one of those weirdos. I wanted to be a lawyer since I was in grade 10. I know it sounds like that, and that's, you know, and I did it, and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But oftentimes I hear people say, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I'll just go to law school. And I don't
really. Oh, that's the default. I don't know what to do.
That's
a teaching.
Well, that teaching law school. Yeah.
Okay, I want to jump over to Ashley David Chapman, Vice President of Chapman's Ice Cream. I wonder if he might have a question for an employment lawyer. See, that was my invitation of you.
Well, yes, and my knowledge of employment law is quite extensive. So let me start quoting. No, I really don't know anything. My sister's a lawyer. I don't. Yeah, we have obviously problems with the employees, but yeah, not that many, really, considering the amount of employees that we have.
So you've not, I mean, you've hired an employment lawyer before. You must have.
Yes.
And
for a lawyer.
Was there a difference between a labor lawyer and an employment lawyer?
Yes, there is.
Labor is for union, unionized.
But you're not unionized.
No, I am not.
So you must try to keep him out. That's probably what he hired him for. Is that what
well,
you did?
No, not particularly.
No,
just our lawyers, Bill Watson and Baker McKenzie, lovely man, focuses on the labor side, but gives us, we've known him for 20-odd years, so he's our guy.
But from a corporate dude point of view, you must have seen great changes over the last 10 years in regards to how you are having to treat your employees. And is there anything you would want to...
That's only if you didn't treat your employees well before.
Oh, well played.
So we've always been kind of an employee-centric company.
Well, yeah, the place burned down and you kept the people on your payroll.
On the payroll, yeah. So they're just not... Our people just aren't a commodity. And... a large manufacturer, an employer who doesn't treat their employees like a commodity and a number, tends to have a lot less problems and a lot less need for employment lawyers.
Yeah. All right. Well, just before we move on to our next topic and go to a commercial break here, I just want to wrap this up with Craig Lewis, employment lawyer extraordinaire. The website is employmentlawyerextraordinaire.com. No, employmentlawyermississauga.com. Employmentlawyermississauga.com. Craig, I think the way we've promoted you and talked about you on our show has really maybe geared towards the individual getting unjustly fired, right?
Yes.
But let's just talk to those people out there who are the hirers, the companies, the bosses.
Right.
I don't know how to say this again.
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah. So let's talk about Ashley David Chapman. How do you, like, what's the number one thing you want them to know so that they don't have to hire you?
Well, I think Ashley David kind of said it best. I think, you know, treating your employees with respect is the beginning of everything, right? I mean, if you keep your workforce happy, obviously both with, you know, decent salaries and benefits and those types of things, that's going to obviously help you and reduce your amount of time you're going to need to speak to a lawyer like myself.
Yeah.
The other thing that I do and help out my employer clients is draft good contracts, right? And good policy manuals, yes. Right? Such that
you help with that
absolutely,
as well?
Absolutely, okay. And you know, it's very topical these days because in the last couple of years there's been a rash of cases that have gone to the Ontario Court of Appeal about is this clause enforceable? Is because more often than not, what will happen if you have an employment contract, you're contracting out of what we call the common law. I'll try and make that not so legalese, but you're trying to say, listen, if you get fired, we're going to give you something like what the Employment Standards Act requires, mm-hmm. which is a week for every year to a maximum of 8 weeks for 8 years or more. And you have to do that right. Because if you don't do it right, then the court says, that's wrong. We're not going to let you enforce that. It's going to be in accordance with the common law. And then it's more like a month for every year. And it could be a big mistake, right? So it's a big area for double checking. Some people have contracts and they kind of, you know, they may have had it drafted 5, 10, 15 years ago and mm-hmm. thought it was fine and never had to have it tested by a judge. And then they find out, unfortunately, the hard way that, in fact, it's unenforceable. The drafting is wrong. So,
well, this is the guy you want to have look over your employment stuff for sure. I just like him. I don't want to keep sucking up about him. I just want to tell you I like him. Employmentlawyer, Mississauga.com.